Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, we've had some great gospel readings that have really touched upon our life now during this pandemic. Like a few weeks ago, we heard about how Peter was scared and lacked faith during the storm. So Jesus reached out his hand and caught him so he didn't sink. Wonderful. Then we heard the conversation between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. And we saw how life is more than just about us and our clan and our problems. Life is about reaching out to others and welcoming them to the table. That's great. We heard about Jesus being the rock on which the church is built, even in the midst of the Roman Empire or COVID-19. Yes, that's true. And last week, we heard about how Jesus laid down his life for us. And then we thought about all of the people now who are sacrificing and laying down their lives for others too. That's spot on. So these are all great texts that really speak to life right now. But then today, well, the lectionary gives us the section from Matthew 18 about church discipline. And I'll admit that when I saw this as today's reading, I thought, really? How does this speak to pandemic life? Yes, it's an important passage. Yes, many Christians see it as a blueprint for how to handle troublemakers in the church. And yes, it's even referenced in the model constitution for ELCA congregations. But I don't think you want to hear a sermon about the model constitution. And honestly, I don't really want to give it either. So what do we do with this? And how does it really connect to life right now? Well, let's look at the bigger context to see how that helps. Many people know this particular passage about discipline, but they don't know what led up to it. So let's back up here. Before this passage, at the start of chapter 18, Jesus tells his disciples to be humble, like a child. Now remember, children in that day were seen to be things. They weren't cute and adorable. They were property. They were seen as unimportant. So Jesus tells his disciples not to think highly of themselves, but to humble themselves as if they were children. And he also reminds them not to put a stumbling block before any of these little ones, like children who believe in him. If you remember last week, Jesus called Peter a stumbling block when Peter tried to stand in his way, when Peter's words became a temptation to him. So that means that a stumbling block is anything that tries to lead people astray, anything that damages their trust in God. Next, Jesus tells the disciples about the shepherd who seeks out the one sheep who is led astray. Then we get today's text. So in the first part of the chapter, Jesus has been talking about caring for the little ones, about those who are vulnerable and needy, and about not putting yourself before them. He tells his disciples about the importance of seeking out those who have been led astray. Then he talks about discipline of church members. So at first, this part can sound like a narrative speed bump. It can sound at first like it doesn't really fit well with what came before it. But actually, it fits great. Because in this passage, Jesus is not issuing a three strikes and you're out procedure, which is how a lot of people hear it, right? Talk one-on-one, talk in the presence of a few witnesses, talk in the presence of the whole church, then you're out. No. Jesus' goal here is to restore broken relationships. His goal is to care for those who are in need. His goal is to help people listen and not be so full of themselves. Now, some people might say, well, what about that line of, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector? Doesn't that mean kick them out? Well, how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He loved them. He reached out to them. He showed them extra grace. Just like the shepherd who went out to find the one sheep who was led astray. But does that mean then that if someone does something wrong, then we should just let them get away with it and welcome them back in? No, of course not. There are certain behaviors that are wrong and need to be corrected. For example, the model constitution for ELCA congregations does give some examples of that behavior. It says, quote, denial of the Christian faith as described in this constitution, conduct grossly unbecoming of a member of the Church of Christ, or persistent troublemaking in this congregation are sufficient cause for discipline of a member. So in other words, Jesus expects us to be mature and responsible people. He expects us to hold fast to our faith in him. He expects us to behave in ways that represent the body of Christ well. However, Jesus also knows that when two or three people are gathered together, there is still the possibility for trouble, even within the church. Yet he calls us to work things out and show extra grace to others. That's great. But what does it have to do with pandemic life? Well, there's actually another clue in this text that can help us with that. In our English wording, it says, if another member of the church sins against you. However, the original Greek says, if your brother sins against you. Now, it might not sound like that big of a difference, but it's important. For the original audience, there was no difference between church life and the rest of life. There was no break for them between their relationship with Jesus and their relationship with others. Being part of the church was not just about an hour on Sunday morning. Being the church was their life. They understood, as we do, that the people are the church, whether you are gathered together in person or not. So this passage isn't just about resolving conflicts within the church walls. This passage is about our relationships throughout life. Everyone is your brother or sister, not just those in your household or your family or even the congregation you're a part of. We're all connected to one another. And that really expands the focus of this passage and helps it connect to our world today. Because even though our society can't be together in person right now, we still have plenty of conflict. Just look online. Perhaps online interaction actually gives you a better picture of what people really think. Because sometimes people say things online that they would never say in person. I guess we could say that when two or three people are gathered together online, conflict is bound to happen. And things get even more complicated when we try to figure out who's the person who did the wrong and who's the one who got wronged. In our text, it seems clear-cut. But in our lives, it's not that easy. Right? Today, it seems like most people want to say, that offends me, instead of, I'm sorry for saying that. Or how many people get defensive online compared to how many people are willing to humble themselves and listen? Or think about how many people will say, well, that's your opinion, compared to, tell me more about that. Our pandemic world is already filled with anxiety and worry and stress. And online conversations seem to just add fuel to the fire. How many people do you know, or maybe you're one of them, who have thought about just giving up social media completely because of all the conflict you see there? Jesus knows that when people get together, be it in person or online, there is a chance for conflict. But he also knows that healthy relationships are worth working on. He knows that it's important to humble ourselves and take care of others first. But where is the good news when it seems like no one really wants to listen to each other? Where is the good news when it's conflict that makes the evening news? Where is the good news when it seems like social media is tearing us apart instead of bringing us closer together? Well, the good news is in the presence of Jesus. At the very beginning of this gospel, the author told us that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And at the very end of the gospel, we hear Jesus promise, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And also, listen to the famous line from today's reading again. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Sometimes when people quote this line, they do it only when like two or three people show up to some church event. They say it both as a joke and as a way to say that even a small group of people can worship God. Yes, that's true, but think about the bigger context here. To gather in the name of Jesus means to gather in a spirit of forgiveness and love and humility. When two or three people are together, whether in person or online, and listening really happens, forgiveness really happens, love really happens, then Jesus is clearly present there. On our own, we just want to fight for ourselves and tear others down. We want to say that we were offended, but never apologize for doing wrong. We want to put ourselves first instead of humbling ourselves. But sometimes, the remarkable happens. Sometimes people actually do listen to each other. Sometimes people do change their behaviors when it's pointed out to them. Sometimes relationships really are restored. And that is clearly the power of Jesus at work in the world. So in this unusual time that we're living in now, all of us need forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration. That means we need to receive it and we need to give it. And because of Jesus, it can and does happen. So think about the people you've interacted with recently, whether online or offline. Think about struggles and conflicts that have happened between the two of you. Think about times that you were defensive and not listening. Now think about how that relationship can change when you trust that Jesus is there in the midst of it. What would happen if you reached out to that other person, like a shepherd finding the sheep that was lost, instead of telling the other person to get lost? Jesus knows that whenever people get together, there is a chance for conflict. But he also promises that he is here with us, and that his gifts of mercy and forgiveness and love are here for all of us too, both to receive and to give. In our world right now, healthy relationships are more important than ever. So this promise of Jesus is definitely good news. So I guess this passage has more to say about pandemic life than we first thought, because even now, Jesus is with us. In the name of the one who is present in our broken world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.